Good morning. I'll be reading that familiar passage from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up to the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you, Harold. And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray together? Our Father, as we come into your word this morning, and again, look at this wonderful account of good news and great joy that shares your arrival to us on earth. We thank you, Lord, for leaving heaven and coming to us, and for how that has changed everything. And so, Father, as we open your word this morning, I ask that you would bless, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as we would see you anew and afresh, and we'd be encouraged for having been in your presence this morning as we behold with wonder and amazement and worship you, our Savior. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot of people seeking to try to find what the meaning of Christmas is. Every year as people go and busy this time of year, people get caught up in shopping and gifts and all kinds of things and parties and celebrating, and they can forget the meaning of what Christmas Day and what we truly celebrate this time of year. In the movie How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Cindy Lou Who sings a song called "Where Are You, Christmas? Why Can't I Find You?" And she's trying to figure out, well, what's the reason for all this celebration and all that is going on. We've been celebrating throughout this Christmas season, Advent season, we've been focusing in on the Christmas classics and some of the classics we grew up with watching on TV. And today we come to my favorite one, my all-time favorite Christmas classic, and that's the Charlie Brown Christmas. I love this one because it so beautifully shares the whole meaning of what Christmas is all about. And I happen to love the Peanuts anyway. They're one of my favorite cartoons. But Charlie Brown Christmas so beautifully tells the reason of what this day that we celebrate and why we celebrate together the celebration of Christmas. If you remember the story, Charlie Brown is contemplating the meaning of Christmas, and he is really discouraged. And poor Charlie Brown, you know, he always is down lots of times, and he was trying to figure out what Christmas is all about, and him and Linus were having a discussion. What is it all about anyway? I don't understand what's going on this time of the year. And he went every day to get his mail, to check his mail for Christmas cards, and remember, he never got any. Everybody got all these Christmas cards, but poor Charlie Brown, he never got any. And his heart was a little down, injected. So, and he saw his own dog Snoopy was caught up. Another thing he didn't like was the commercialism, that everybody was caught up in the commercialism of the day, and they seemed to forget what it was all about. And even his own dog Snoopy got caught up in the commercialism of the day, decorating his dog and box, and he won first prize. And that Charlie didn't like that either. He said, there's got to be more to Christmas than this. So he went out to look for a Christmas tree, and he didn't like all the commercialism. They had all these metal trees, and that he was, in order to help him feel better, they said, Charlie Brown, why don't you direct our Christmas play? So they gave him a job of going out to find the Christmas tree. So he was looking around. He didn't like all the metal trees and all the commercialization. He saw one that caught his eye. Remember that little tiny little branch? And he said, that's the one. And Linus said, do they still make real trees anymore? So he got that and took it back to where they were gathered when they were practicing for the Christmas pageant. When he got back there, the place was in chaos. And he was trying to direct them, and they weren't paying attention to him. And Charlie Brown was getting more directed. When he walked in with the tree, they all laughed at him. And they said, Charlie Brown, you can't even do anything right. You can't even get a Christmas tree. And his heart sank. And he said, Is there anybody here that can tell me what Christmas is all about? And we come to the main part. And Linus says, I know what Christmas is about, Charlie Brown. And he got up and he stood and he recited in the middle of the stage the scripture from Luke chapter 2 that Harold just read. And he shared the account from Luke's gospel about how today a Savior was born. It was Christ the Lord. And this would be a sign. And he shared the scripture. And at the end, and he said, and that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And that's the meaning. Christmas is about a Savior who has been born to us. And that's what we celebrate. So Charlie Brown, as he understood the meaning of Christmas, that it was all about Jesus, he was filled with wonder. And he took that little tree and he took it home. And he said, I'm going to decorate this thing. He said, this little tree has life in it. So he went and he put an ornament on, if you remember, one little ornament, and the thing falls over. He goes into the house, a little dejected, and the rest of the friends come and they decorate the tree. And they are all overcome with the meaning of Christmas. After Linus shared it was all about Jesus, they were overcome with the meaning of Christmas, and they understood it too. And their hearts were filled with love, and they gathered around the Christmas tree and they sang, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And their lives were changed because they understood what Christmas was finally all about. And it's all about Jesus. The meaning of Christmas is about our Savior has come. We heard the story, the account from Luke's Gospel chapter 2 as Luke records for us the events of how Jesus came and how he was born and how he took on that human flesh. And it says that Mary pondered these things in her heart, and it's believed that Luke received the account of the birth from Mary herself as she related those events that she shared, because there was anybody there, was just Jesus, Mary, Joseph, and the Lord. And as she reflected on that and shared the coming of Christ and how he came to earth. Christmas has meaning because Christmas is all about Jesus. And that is truly what we celebrate. And as we look at the account again this morning of his birth, we're going to discover five truths together briefly that bring meaning into Christmas and bring meaning into our lives as we celebrate this day and as we rejoice in what Christmas is all about. The first truth that we celebrate this morning gives meaning to our Christmas and meaning to our life is that God is always in control. And no matter what we're facing, no matter what we go through in life, we can thank the Lord that he is in control. Notice the scripture says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And Luke goes on to say this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone had to go to his own town to register. In those days, Luke says, because God is always in control and he is right on time. If we go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And back in the garden, when Adam and Eve had fallen into sin, God had promised that someday he was going to send a redeemer, a deliverer. And the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent and would crush his head and deal with him for good and bring defeat. And that redemption would come. And throughout the Old Testament, Israel was looking for a redeemer, a deliverer to come to bring redemption. And in that fullness of time, God sent Jesus when the days were accomplished. You and I, in our lives, sometimes when we go through hardship or we're going through hard times and we need cry out, our heart cries out for deliverance or relief, we say, Lord, will you bring me deliverance or through this? God will come and God does come, but it's right on time. Sometimes we like to run ahead of him. Sometimes we lag behind, but God in his timetable will act and does act at just the proper moment. You remember whenever Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, had died and he had been placed in the tomb for 4 days. And when Jesus heard that he was sick, he delayed his coming. And when he got there, Martha said, Lord, if you'd only come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus said, where I am the resurrection and the life, and he raised him to life because Jesus is always right on time. Because he is in control and we can trust him. And so whenever you feel, Lord, where are you? Because it's a long time of waiting. It was a long time of waiting from when God made that promise in the garden till the final Jesus came. Sometimes it's hard when we're waiting on God to act, when we're crying out to him, Lord, and we have a burden. And we say, Lord, please come to my aid. Please answer this for me. And we're carrying that burden for a long time, and we want God to act. And when we wait, it's hard to wait on God, isn't it? And we wish he would respond at our timetable, but he responds in his own. In the fullness of time, Jesus came. Reminds us that he's in control, but he's always right on time. And so having eyes of faith to say, Lord, help me to wait on you. And Lord, we long and wait for his return. But he is also on the throne. Verses 1 to 3 says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken. And Caesar was the empire. He was the Roman emperor at the time. And he made the law, and everybody had to follow it. And he issued a decree that he was going to count his people. And the only reason he was doing that was because he wanted to know how many people he had so he could tax them better. And it wasn't just a census, but he was requiring that everybody had to go back to their ancestral home. And Caesar Augustus thought that he was making that decree. But actually, it was the Lord working through him. Because he was using Caesar to fulfill the prophecies that said in Bethlehem, that's where the Messiah would be born. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. How would they have got to Bethlehem? Because of this decree through Caesar. It was the work of God. God was on the throne. God was directing. And we believe that God orchestrates and is behind our life and behind our life, orchestrating all the details of our life, bringing everything to where we are. And when we look back, we can see his hand. At the time we're going through a difficult situation, we may not understand it. But when we look back, we can say, God was in that somehow. Because he is on the throne and we can trust him. And he is good. He is sovereign. God is always in control. So no matter what you're going through, just remember, he is there. He is with you. And he is on the throne. It was God who was reigning, not Caesar who made the decree. Second thing we see is God keeps his promises. In the fullness of time, God sent the Messiah, and Jesus was born. And Joseph went up out of Nazareth to Bethlehem to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, was expecting a child. And when the time came for the baby to be born, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. The fulfillment of the promise. Not only given to Adam and Eve in the garden, but given to Abraham. That God said, through your descendant, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And the fulfillment of the promise of what he had said was fulfilled in Jesus when he left heaven and came to earth. And we can thank the Lord that he does keep his promises to us. And he will not forsake us. He will not leave us. He will not abandon us. But he is always there. And what he has promised, he not only is able to do, but he will do. Because he is a God who is true and faithful and keeps his word. Third, we see that God meets us where we are, and we celebrate, and that gives us meaning to celebrate this morning, that he meets us right where we are. And that's really the joy of what Christmas is about, that he who left heaven, the very God of the universe, the great I am, wrapped himself in human flesh and came down to us. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about Moses and where God spoke to him on the mountain, and he said, I've seen the misery of my people. I've seen their cry. I've seen the heart of their going through. And I have come down to redeem them and rescue them. And God sees the pain in your life. He sees the misery. He sees what you're going through, the burdens you carry. And he has come down to us through Jesus. The good news of Christmas is Emmanuel, God is with us. And he's not only with us, but he's in us. He comes down and meets us where we are. It says in verse 8, the shepherds were living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel appeared to them. The shepherds were often considered as outcasts, and they were considered some of the lowest of that day, and because they lived with the sheep. But yet God met them where they were and came down to them and said, I have good news for you. Born in a small Judean village of Bethlehem, a little town that was really remote. Not much happened in Bethlehem, but yet in that little place is where God decided to come and placed in a manger. It said she wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When God came and wrapped himself in human flesh as a cradle for the king, he came and was placed in a manger where all could come to him. The lowest to the highest, right where we are. So the good news of Christmas is God meets you right where you're at. Whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever you're going through, he is there with you in the midst of it, and he has come with you in that time, and he shares that with us. Emmanuel, God is here, meeting us right where we are, and that we celebrate and we thank the Lord for. And four, we have meaning in Christmas because God gives us what we really need. He gives us what we really need. Now, how many times have you been given a gift at Christmas, or someone has given you, maybe even not at Christmas, but have given you a gift that you didn't really need, but you've been given it to you, and you just say thank you, and you recline and receive it, like a tie? How many times the Christmas classic joke about giving a Christmas tie to someone all the time? You get, oh, it's just what I need, another tie, thank you. But, you know, if someone's given you a gift you don't really need, you just say thank you and it's fine. But God has given us what we really need because God knows us and he created us as our creator. He knows what we need the most. And he knows every little detail about our life. He knows us so well and so intimately. And as a good father, he likes to give good gifts to his children, just as any good parent would. And he has given us what we really need, what is most important. Verses 10 to 12. The angel reminded the shepherds, he said, the angel said, don't be afraid, For I bring you good news of great joy, which is all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And God gave us what we really needed. What we needed most, friends, was what? Salvation and deliverance from our sin. Ever since the fall in the garden, the world has been broken. And the world has been needed to be restored back. And our hearts have been broken. And we need that restoration and deliverance and salvation brought back to him. And God provided the way. And that was what we needed most. And that was what he gave us. He gave us a Savior. And that is what we celebrate. That's what Christmas is all about. And Lina said, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. A Savior has been born. The angel said, it's good news. I bring you good news. That word good news is the word for the gospel. The good news of the gospel, that Jesus came, that he died, he was buried, that he rose again and gives life to all who believe in him. And it's great joy. It brings great joy because it shows that our life has changed and it's for all the people, not just a few, but he came to bring salvation to all who receive him. That gift is available to all who receive it. He gave us the gift of salvation, but he also gave us peace. Notice it says, when the shepherds saw the angels, they were afraid. It says they were terrified. In fact, the old King James says they were sore afraid. They were terrified when they saw the angels in the sky. And the Lord said, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. But he said, there's peace on earth on whom his favor rests because of Christ. And Christ has come to give us that peace, that inner peace that sustains us, the peace that the world does not understand. But peace can really only be found through Christ himself. Because he is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah said that is one of his names he will be known as Prince of Peace. And so the Lord has come to give you that inner peace, peace with him, knowing our sins are forgiven, but also his peace that sustains us, even in the storms in the midst of life, and the peace that holds us near. And he's come to give us joy. He said, good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Joy knowing that God is with us and he is on the throne. And joy and able to rejoice even in some of the hard and difficult times. God has come to give us what we really need, and that's salvation through Christ. And the last thing we see from this story that gives meaning is that God fills us with meaning and purpose. Notice it says when the angels in verse 15 had left them and went back up into heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they went to Bethlehem and they made their way into the town and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. God fills us with meaning and purpose because when we discover him and we know him, it's a purpose to come and to seek him. And the angels, the shepherds, when they heard the news, said, let's go and find this Savior that was born and let's seek him out. And part of the meaning and purpose that God gives us is to seek to know him better, to seek to know him through his word, through that relationship with him personally, but to discover more and more about him and growing in our personal relationship deeper as a disciple. And that's part of the purpose and to know him, to seek him, to be continually be amazed by his wonder, taking that time in his word and in prayer to seek him out daily. But then also to make him known, because it says when they sought him and they found him, their lives were changed. And it said they went back and they returned and they told and spread the news and they told others about what they had found. The joy and the peace that they had found and experienced through feeding the Savior. And they shared that with those around them and they went back to their job. They went back to tending the sheep. But it didn't become any mundane task anymore. It had purpose and meaning because it had Christ, they were sharing Christ in the midst of it and proclaiming him in the midst of the routine. in the midst of your daily life and where you are each day, sharing the hope and the reason for the hope that you have and the reason for why you have peace, because it's all about Jesus. And sharing, and they told others, and others were amazed, and they returned glorifying and praising God for what God had done and how he had met them. And whenever we meet Christ in that change, we share that with others, they too can become amazed at what God has done in our life and how he has brought us through and how he is with us in the midst of all things. So we celebrate Christmas, and we celebrate the coming of Jesus, that he has come to bring purpose and meaning and joy to our life. Jesus is the meaning of Christmas. He is our peace. He is our joy. And as the scripture says, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And that is what Christmas is all about. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for coming to us, that you, our Savior, was born, that you knew what we really needed. We didn't need a military conqueror. We didn't need a mighty king. We needed a Savior, a deliverer. And that is how you came. And we thank you, Lord, that you've come to bring that salvation and deliverance of our sin, and that you came down to us to meet us right where we are so that we could be lifted up to you, so that we could live with you someday in your coming kingdom. So Lord, thank you for your love and that you are in control, that you are always right on time. Lord, at times we get impatient. We wish you would act sooner. And Lord, help us through eyes of faith to realize that you are in control, you are on the throne, and you in your time will respond in the proper way. So Father, we trust you, we love you. Thank you that you keep your promise to us, that you are faithful to your word, and you will do what you have said. And so Lord, the times when the enemy likes to put in doubt, remind us, Lord, that you are faithful to your word. Lord, in those times when we are overcome by fear, discouragement, remind us of your peace and of your presence with us, that you are with us and always will be. And Lord, thank you that you change everything. And when you take up that residence in our life changes, and you give us purpose and meaning and joy that is eternal and abundant, and life that is abundant. So thank you for coming to us, for all you've done for Jesus, through Jesus, our Lord. To you be glory, honor, and praise now and forever. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.